Well, welcome to our men's morning of reflection. Today I would like actually to talk about Catholic fatherhood, what it means to be a true Christian father, a Catholic father. So whether you're a physical father or a spiritual father or a godfather, I think these ideas will hopefully be helpful. I want to give you seven ideas, because I'm going to use the word fathers and give you one idea for every letter in the word fathers. Well, one of my favorite stories of fatherhood was Casey went to a party with his son, and there was a lovely cake on the table. Casey cut the cake in two and took the big piece, and his son said, "Dad, you should give us kids good example and take this small piece." The dad said, "Well, son, what piece would you have taken?" And the son said, "The small piece." And the father says, "Well, you got it." Well, what kind of fathers should we be? Well, first, we should be faithful. That is the letter F in fathers. We are called to be faithful. What does that mean? Well, it means two things. It means full of faith. Faith is that theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe everything God has revealed. Well, how do we grow in our faith? Prayer and study. By praying to the Lord, we grow in our faith. And then, so we spend time in prayer, and then we have to study the Bible, the catechism, and I think the lives of the saints. But also, faithful means to be dedicated, to be committed, to be a promise keeper, to be a true covenant keeper. It means to persevere in your vocation, to be faithful. We're called to be faithful to God, to living our Catholic faith. Be faithful Catholics, loyal to the Holy Father. Be faithful to your wife, to your children, to your work, and to the duties of your state and life. So that's the first idea. Today, we should reflect on this aspect of faithfulness. The next letter in the word fathers is A, and it stands for being apostolic. Being apostolic, which means to share the faith, to evangelize, and to bring the faith to others. The great Father Faber once said that if you don't try to convert the world will convert you. So we have to always be apostolic and vigilant in sharing our faith. We should all have an apostolic dimension to our life and all be missionaries in whatever way the Lord can use us to evangelize. This means to share the good news and to spread the good news. I remember when I was 16 years old, that's when I began to go out into the street corners and evangelize up in the Philadelphia area. We would go to the bus stops and the train stops and set up Catholic literature stands. And we'd be there and say hello to everybody and smile and say, "Help yourself to some free Catholic literature." So I remember telling the children at a school mass once that I began evangelizing when I was about 16. And later that day, one of the moms or dads came up to me and said, "Father, I didn't know that you began vandalizing at age 16. I said, "Now there's a difference between evangelizing on the street corner and vandalizing the street corner." So evangelizing is sharing the good news. So you're called to be apostolic, to build up the church, your family, society. Pope John Paul II said that in Familiaris Consortio, that fathers have to evangelize other fathers. You have to reach out to other dads. Moms have to evangelize other moms. Children share their faith with other children. So we have to be concerned for the salvation of souls. And we sometimes need support groups, like men's group that you can meet on a regular basis, which I believe will be happening after this conference, a couple times a month, to get together for spiritual formation and ongoing spiritual development. There's other wonderful organizations as well that we could be involved in. The Knights of Columbus that most of you are involved in, or Opus Dei, or the Legion of Mary, or the apostolate of family consecration or the Schoenstatt movement. There are so many wonderful ways to evangelize. My dad and mom have been in the Legion of Mary for well over 50 years. And to me, that was such a great witness growing up where the parents are apostolic, that they're focused on helping other people get to heaven as well. And then, of course, be apostolic in your workplace by the words that you speak and the example that you give. The next letter in Fathers is T, and if you're writing it down, it means to be tender, to be tender-hearted. Fathers are called, obviously, to be strong, but also to be tender. And really, tenderness and affection is a strength. To be gentle, like St. Joseph, toward your spouse and your children. To be tender-hearted means to be patient, to have self-control, to have humility, that God-like virtue. To show affection toward your spouse and your children. To have that really tender aspect. Yes, be very strong, but also be tender toward your spouse and children. The next letter is H, and that stands for Home Depot. No, I'm sorry. I remember asking a child what her dad did for a living. She says, "Oh, my dad goes to Home Depot." That was what she thought her dad did as a living. The H stands for holiness. Holiness. That's what you're called to. That's what we're all called to, whether as a physical father or a spiritual father. We're called to holiness in our vocations. And a priest once made a good point. He said, we're not just called to be good, we're called to be holy. You know, it's the difference between being a good father and a holy father, a good husband and a holy husband, a good priest and a holy priest. We're called not just to be good, because really an atheist or an agnostic could be a good person. You know, they might have kindness or some of the natural virtues, but there's a difference between being good and being holy. We're called to holiness. As Jesus said, be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. So how do we grow in holiness? Through daily prayer life, through every day filling our mind with good spiritual reading. I also recommend spiritual listening, you know, listening to those CDs that are out there in the vestibule. There's so many wonderful books on CD. Growing up over these last 30 years, I have a huge collection of cassette tapes. Now many have been transferred onto CD. But I used to tell people when we listened to cassette tapes, I said, don't just be a bookworm, become a tapeworm. Okay? Make sure you listen to tapes. Now, of course, listen to CDs. Use your commuting time well to deepen your faith and grow in your faith. So holiness is developed through our intimacy with Jesus Christ, our prayer life, spiritual reading. We begin first with the Bible, then the catechism and the lives of the saints. Those are the three most important things that you can read to grow in holiness: the Bible, the catechism, and the lives and writings of the saints. And then the sacraments, going to regular confession. I would recommend at least once a month, or more frequently if needed, but at least once a month if you want to grow in holiness. And go to Mass and communion as often as you can. Obviously every Sunday, maybe some of you can go a couple times a week or even every day. And then develop the virtues, grow in the virtues, and have a plan of life, a rule of life, where you wake up and make the morning offering, dedicate your day to God. And as I'd like to share, I shared it on the Feast Day of All Saints, that there are two kinds of people that wake up every morning: those who say, "Good morning, God," and the other half of the world says, "Good God, morning." Okay, so you're called to dedicate your day to God from the very beginning of your waking, and then to try to live in the presence of God, always aware of God's presence. And then the next letter is E, and that stands for being an educator. So it's not just up to your wife to teach the children. Your job is to teach your children the faith. That's why one of the purposes of marriage is the procreation and education of children. And the popes have emphasized this, that the family is the domestic church and you are the first teachers in your children in the ways of faith. So where do you begin? Well, by studying your own faith, deepening your own faith, by reading good Catholic books and good Catholic periodicals. The Arlington Herald is excellent and many other excellent resources out there. Maybe once a year going on a retreat for a weekend or a day of recollection once or twice a year. And that realize that you are teachers at every moment by the language that you use, by what you say, by your honesty, by your integrity to your children. You're always teaching them. There's a saying that your example speaks so loud that we cannot hear what you say. It is our example that is so important, especially to your children. And a good analogy is when you go on an airplane, you know, they always give you the preparation speech so that in case of cabin pressure change, put on your own mask first and then put on your children's mask after that. See, that's a good example for the spiritual life, that you have to put on your own spiritual mask first, that you have to be growing in holiness yourself, and then you'll be able to help your spouse and your children as well. And in fact, I do remember that little story, the guy who goes to the airport and he checks in and says, I would like this bag to go to Toronto, this bag to Chicago, and this bag to New York. And the lady says, well, we can't do that. And the fellow says, well, you did it to me last week. So again, put on your own mask first and then be able to help your spouse and your children. And you know, the example of parents is so powerful. We have a priest in our diocese who has a sister who's a Nashville Dominican, and he would always tell the story of every day when he came down for school, he saw his dad kneeling in the living room before he went out to the farm, out to the ranch to work. And that simple thing of the children seeing their dad praying, their dad kneeling, made such an impression upon them that it helped to foster their vocation. That simple thing, before he left, he knelt down, asked God for grace and for help for that day. And his family produced a priest as well as a religious sister. Well, the last two letters are R and S. And the R in Fathers stands for that you're called to be a reflection. You are a reflection of God the Father in the life of your children. Because as the Creed says, that the Father is the Lord and giver of life, and you gave your children life. So God is the original Father, and all of you participate physically in fatherhood. I partake spiritually in fatherhood because we beget spiritual children when we baptize them and when we give them the sacraments. You beget physical children. But we're all called to be a reflection of God the Father. And it's so important because as many studies have shown that the children usually get their image of God the Father from their own father. And if you are loving and forgiving and merciful, your children will have a much easier time seeing God as loving, forgiving, and merciful. If a father is stern or uncaring or distant or harsh, often the children are raised with that impression that maybe God is that way. Yes, through counseling and spiritual direction and healing, a child can come to experience the true love of a father and as God the Heavenly Father, but it makes it so much easier for your children when they see you as loving, forgiving, and merciful, because then they'll much easier see God that way. The last letter in Fathers is S, and that stands for Saint Joseph. That you're called to imitate Saint Joseph. All of us are. His example, he is a great model, the great guide for fathers and husbands, an inspiration. And he is, of course, called the world's greatest father. He is such a beautiful reflection of God the Father. When we think of Saint Joseph, we're reminded that he was such a a good, holy man, a very just man, and that fathers are called to imitate him, especially his obedience to the will of God, his cooperation with God's plan for his life and helping the Blessed Mother and our Lord. He was such a man of prayer and interior life and silence, such a great example to Jesus, and he was a good provider and a good protector. And one of the main jobs of you as fathers is to protect your child's innocence against what they could watch on television or the computer or the movies or whatever it might be. So your job is to protect your child's innocence as much as possible. It's so difficult in our toxic world because there is so much out there that is trying to poison you and your wife and your children. But your job is to be a Saint Joseph, to be a good provider and a good protector. And he is the patron saint of all husbands and fathers and workers. He was the head of the Holy Family and such, again, a wonderful husband and father. He is the patron saint of all workers and the patron saint of a happy death. A happy death means to die in the state of grace, to die in the arms of Jesus and Mary. And that's what we all hope, that we will all have a happy death, to die well prepared with the sacraments in the arms of Jesus and Mary. So I encourage you as men during this men's conference to really focus on being a good father, being faithful, being apostolic, being tender-hearted, striving for holiness, be well-educated and educate your children, reflect God the Father in the life of your family, and then imitate Saint Joseph, the world's greatest father.